Are there more personal stories you want to talk about?
Yes.
Should I do mine?
Which one? The second one or the first one?
Yeah, the second one. Wait, is the first one also? That's actually...
The first one is shared, I guess.
Yeah, it's a shared personal story.
And not only us. There are more people who experience
shared among the
like
community
yeah.
of developers.
Oh, yes.
This one, you've probably had something similar in your work field. Whatever work field you have,
yeah.
you probably have had... Like you received designs or any kind of material with non-industry standard software.
Yeah.
So, like... A design that you nowadays expect like getting in Figma or like Adobe XD or whatever.
Yeah.
And you get it in PowerPoint or a PDF or like a zip of JPEGs.
or a printed out design. Yeah.
What? On paper?
Yeah, sure.
Have you had that? I sincerely hope you didn't get that.
Like I've had like a, how do you call that? Like a job assignment on paper and all the designs were also printed yeah. out in black and white. Of
yeah,
course.
Sure. Yeah, I can imagine that actually. That sucks. But yeah, so you get clients or you get like a project and then you get handed over the designs and it's just, you can't do anything with it.
I especially love it when I get like a PowerPoint presentation in the past and they didn't like they were like, it's the most normal thing to do. They were like really nonchalant about it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, here you go. Here are the designs. And then you open the zip file and it's like a fucking PowerPoint presentation.
Yep.
And you're like, wait, what?
And then really? There's screenshots.
And it's just a bunch of screenshots inside a few different slides.
And I've also had it where they actually made the design in PowerPoint. They use rectangles and,
yes.
and text and stuff like that.
Yes. Also a great way to do that.
I don't know. Like, yeah. Jeez.
I mean, that always happens with people who don't know design, you know?
Yeah.
A real designer doesn't give you a design
exactly.
in a fucking PowerPoint.
Like the words industry standard is not there for nothing
yeah.
because if you work in the industry of design,
mm-hmm.
you will use the right tools.
Yeah. I mean, a designer can't work in PowerPoint, so.
It's not a design software.
It's impossible.
But you also had a specific case, right? Where you...
Well, I had a case where a client didn't want to pay for design software. So like they were working with, I think it was Sketch at that time. And I okay. didn't have a license, for example. And they didn't want to give me one. It was Photoshop, I don't know. But they didn't want to give me a license. So they just copied screenshots of the design. So again, they didn't export like layers and stuff like that. No. They made a screenshot of Photoshop and they sent me that.
What? They didn't even do an export?
No. And that they were like, well, here you go. Here are the designs. And you're going to make this?
I don't...
How? How does that work?
Man, you like put it in paint and then take the eyedropper tool.
Yeah.
And start getting like the crusty JPEG
uh-huh.
pixels to get the colors from there. And like units and sizes and like font sizes and oh my god, the pain.
Please.
At that point you might as well just wing it and just do something that looks like that.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Like a lot of times those are also the people who are really like
scrutinizing over every pixel.
Yes, exactly.
Like, oh, in the design, the border
in the PowerPoint.
Is like, yeah. Like they wouldn't say PowerPoint.
No,
they
just
the official design.
In the design, yeah.
It had a pixel and a half. And then it turns out they have like
yeah.
non-standard DPI screens and stuff as
or,
well.
Or like they say like, hey, the colors aren't right. Yeah. How would that be possible, you know? How do you
oh, yeah. Man, that also like people who don't understand that different software have different color profiles.
Oh, yeah.
And then... They're like, oh, but in this design software, it looks so much more vibrant,
like
and brighter.
People who I've had designs that were made in InDesign, for example. That's like a printing software, right?
CMYK.
Yes, exactly. So, and they were surprised that the colors weren't right.
What the fuck?
Oh,
how do you explain that to them? Yeah, colors, but it's on a screen. How is it not the same?
It's yeah. I don't know. I've also had one client. I think I designed a logo or something like really back in the days. And I made it in, what was it again? I don't know. I think it was made in Photoshop or Illustrator or something like that. Okay. Probably Illustrator. But I specifically told him, like, hey, I'm going to send you like the bitmap files, but not the vector files, because those are my, you know, my rights.
Yeah.
So just send me the, like, the specs, the sizes you need, and, you know, I'll send you those. You know, I was trying to make more money. So I said, I'm like, hey, if you want vector files, you have to pay me more.
Sure.
Kind of shitty, but, you know, hey, they probably paid way too little too. So,
yeah.
But so they they designed like a sticker for on the side of their van, but they didn't ask for like the vector or like a bigger file.
Oh,
so,
no.
So they like
upscaled
like a really small logo for their like website or their paper, for example, and they scaled it up.
I saw it.
It looked horrible.
Like bilinear filtering, like huge pixels.
It was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen.
So, was it JPEG or PNG?
I think it was a PNG, but it was still crunchy. You know?
Yeah. Well,
so yeah,
that's their horror story.
Yeah.
We didn't understand the assignment. We fucked it up. You see that a lot where people print out things and you see the JPEG like artifacting and pixels on the photos that are printed out. Oh, man. That is disgusting.
I kind of love it when you see like a van or like a printed out like folder or whatever, and you can count the pixels almost. It's great.
So there's this situation. I was working at a company where we built or we wrote an in-house survey software, and it was like on the internet. So it was a combination of PHP and then like. Back then, we didn't really use a lot of frameworks.
Uh-huh.
So it was just vanilla JavaScript, PHP. And it was a survey, and you could like write the survey itself as well. We had like some kind of simple language we made where you could just like do Q colon or like something visual where you could just type in Q and then answers. And then you would also have, if you answer this question, then you skip these, and if you so it was
like logic, was,
there was some complexity there.
Uh-huh.
And it was with a very small team, mostly me.
You were the team.
I was mostly the team. The database was in SQL.
Mm-hmm.
It was MySQL as far as I remember, and it was like, I don't know, MySQL 7 or 8 or something, like the very old one nowadays. Anyway, it was like the first version where JSON, like saving JSON, was possible as non-string.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was an object in the database.
Yeah.
And well, I was like, okay, this is nice because you can actually like read out the JSON, but apparently it was not that powerful, and you could only go like one or two deep. In the hierarchy of the JSON object.
Yeah.
So I ended up just saving it as a JSON, but actually reading it out as text and then like parsing it in PHP to get out the questions.
Mm-hmm.
So we were saving the progress of the answers of the survey in JSON and saving it in PHP, in MySQL. And here's the thing is it was like a nationwide survey for twins.
Whoa, okay. Interesting.
And like people who know twins.
Uh-huh.
And so like, I don't know, it was like a medical survey about some specific type of issues with twins.
Okay.
Anyway, for some reason we had 276,000 people
that's a lot, huh?
who we were like requesting to fill out the survey.
Uh-huh.
And well, it worked for a long time, and it seemed to do its job, and it was actually pretty, like, it worked well. The exporting of the database was kind of slow, if you wanted like it all formatted.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was working, and then we had a few test runs and with smaller groups, and it worked, and then we did the big one, and so 276,000 respondents in that survey. And we were saving the responses in JSON in MySQL. And apparently there was an error with the saving process. And the responses were getting saved in the wrong rows in the database.
Nice.
So imagine people, the people who are responding, their answers are being saved in the wrong row.
Uh-huh.
So you couldn't actually trace anymore who responded where. But something like that, like it's been, I don't know, 6 years now. So it's kind of hard for me to remember all the details. But after we noticed, we thankfully saw that we had a daily database backup.
Uh-huh.
So we could kind of trace back where it all went wrong.
Okay.
And that's what we ended up doing. So once like the big like wave of respondents happened in the start of the survey, it slowed down to like one or two respondents per day. And that's also the moment where we noticed. And thankfully we had like the daily backups. We took those backups, like, I don't know, like five or six of them,
mm-hmm.
because in between those versions of the backups, something went wrong. And so we spent 2 days manually splitting up the SQL dumps with hundreds of thousands of records.
Oh my God.
And merging them together to have a coherent database. The exports went well, finally, and we actually figured out where it went wrong, so we could kind of reverse the issue.
Uh-huh.
Because for some reason, like, everything skipped a few rows.
Oh, weird.
I think it was like a combination of like the way we were saving the JSON,
mm-hmm.
and the way that I don't know, like the rows themselves. Like, you would expect a specific survey respondent to have their own row,
but yeah.
for some reason it saved it in a different row. I don't know. It's been a while, but like we missed like four cases. In the end, we were like down to four respondents, and we couldn't find their answers. But we knew they answered though.
They were somewhere, but...
Or they were... Yeah, but we couldn't find them.
It's so weird.
I think they got, like, overwritten.
Oh, yeah. Might be.
So we had, like, four respondents who had no... Because we keep track when they start, how many mm-hmm. questions they answered, and we keep track of if they stopped before the end, etc.
Yeah.
And so they actually did stop before the end. They did answer a few, but the survey response was just empty.
Okay.
The column with the JSON data was empty.
Weird.
So, yeah, we couldn't figure out those four cases or something, but, you know, after two really horrifying days, I was just, I don't know. I honestly thought, like, this is it. This is the moment where I don't want to do coding anymore.
Uh-huh. You were, like, really done with it.
It felt so bad.
I can imagine, yeah.
It felt so bad.
Like besides the guilt, I guess.
Yeah, there was a whole team of, like, there were, like, medical surveys of like a whole team who had specific questions. I was also feeling like ethically you can't use this data anymore.
Yeah.
Because the survey is incomplete or it has altered data.
Yeah. I mean, you had to manually dig through it. So yeah.
Like, I didn't want to like manually dig through it. Mm. So we kind of found a compromise where we, you know, we figured out what went wrong, like the logic that went wrong.
Yeah,
I don't really remember.
But you could like apply the logic to fix it itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I wasn't saying, oh, this answer, this one looks like that person.
Yeah.
Because sure. We also were saving names and age and stuff like that.
All right.
Were we actually? No, that was in a different database. Yeah, it was complicated.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it was complicated. Like, we didn't save all the data in the same database.
That's probably also for the better, I guess. Yeah. But
it was like anonymized, pseudonymized, pseudonymized. How do you say that?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that was my story.
Spooky.
Spooky. Yeah. What about yours? You have one left, I see.
Yeah, I have a lot of weird interview experience, so that's another one, I guess.
I'm getting ready for this one.
Okay, so I went to, it was a few years ago when I was still looking for permanent roles. This might have been in the same time when I was doing the other interview I just told about.
Okay.
With IQ test and everything. Might be the same time, I don't remember. But so I went to the interview for a permanent role in Amsterdam. I arrived on time, you know, nothing wrong. I was a few minutes before the appointment, you know, perfectly fine. I rang the doorbell. It was like an office complex with like multiple different companies in it. But it was a pretty big company, so they owned like a really big part of the office. But I rang the doorbell. No one answered. I tried to call the person I had the interview with, didn't answer my phone. So I was like kind of stuck in front of the door because I couldn't get in. Like it was just a locked door.
And you were 100% sure that you were at the right spot?
I mean, again, like I've doubted.
Yeah.
Of course, at that moment I was like, wait, am I at the wrong place, wrong time?
Was there like a plate on the
yeah,
door?
Yeah, exactly. Right? There was like a doorbell, logo was next to it. Okay. I was like, this is the place. I'm 100% sure. Like yeah. I had it in
But you had to double check.
I had it in my email. I like everything. I checked everything. So I was waiting there and called again. No one answered. You know, press the doorbell. No one answered. So eventually someone from the building, might have been from another company, left it and he opened or held the door open for me. So I could finally at least enter the building. But at this time it was already like, you know, a few minutes past like the appointment time. So I was like already stressed about that.
Yeah.
But also kind of interesting that like I didn't receive a call or anything, you know, when I arrived late. They were not like, hey, where's our interviewee, yeah. You know?
You would expect people to be like, hey, are you going to show up?
Yeah, so is everything okay, you know? Or like have your phone ready because someone might call because they have issues, you know? Mm. You
yeah.
know? So anyway, I was looking through the building. Like it was really confusing, that like the whole layout and finding the right area where I had to be. So eventually I found like the right floor at least. And to be clear, this building, it was from the outside, it looked kind of new, but from the inside, it was like really old and
like those
lowered ceilings, like with those like white like plates on it and stuff like that.
It's like a liminal space, back rooms.
It was that. And it also like lightly yellowed everything, you know?
Were there like,
and like
water
really
spots?
Disgusting carpet on the floor everywhere.
What color was the carpet? Was
it black? Like black with white dots, I think.
What
something
the hell?
Like that. So it looks horrible. And I was like, wait, what? It's a pretty big company. So I was really surprised by this. But so I was looking through the building, trying to find it. There were the doors were not labeled, so that also didn't help.
Amazing.
But eventually I found like an open door and a bunch of people talking. So I was like, well, that's at least a sign of life, I guess.
There's humans.
So I walked in and it was like a really weird and old cafeteria and a bunch of people were standing, I think around a TV or something. I don't know. But they were like standing there talking to each other and it was very loud. I walked in, some people glanced at me and, you know, they work there. So they should know when a new person arrives. But they glanced at me and then just looked away. So eventually...
Classic.
I was nervous, but I approached someone, and I asked like, hey, I have an interview with this person around this time. I couldn't get in, you know, so can you help me like find him or get in the right direction? They kind of waved like into the hallway, like, yeah, just, you know, somewhere there.
Okay. They also are confused.
Again, the doors were also not labeled. Yeah. So I don't know, but so... I was like, well, thank you, I guess. And I just walked away. Mm-hmm. I was looking in a different, how do you call those? Corridors, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I just randomly bumped into the person I had the interview with. So that's, again, also weird because he didn't call me. I tried calling multiple times. I even called when I was in the building, trying to find the right place to be. I bumped into him and he was like, oh yeah, well, we had to like, we had like a meeting that, you know, went on a bit longer. Again, like really unprofessional, but.
That's stupid.
Right? Like at least let someone like on reception, for example, if there's, there was a reception.
Just send a message.
Whatever. There's like a million things you can
email,
do
better. Like during the interview, it takes like 1 minute.
So I found him eventually, but he was not done yet. He still had things to do, I guess. So he pointed me into a meeting room. Again, that meeting room was so weird and disgusting. I can't
it was
even...
more like an interrogation room.
There was like, you know, in school you had those like trolleys where the TV was on, you know, and they rolled that in.
Uh-huh.
One of those was standing in the middle of the office, and there was like a Nintendo 64 on it. I was like, oh, you know, games, fun.
Wow.
But everything was yellow, like everything was disgusting, and the TV was not a flat screen. No, it was one of those old
CRT.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what?
It was so weird. Everything was like,
what's happening?
Weirdly disgusting, and so he locked the door behind me. He told me, you know, you can wait here, and we'll do the interview here in a few minutes. He went away, locked the door, and then after like half an hour or 45 minutes, it might have been longer. I don't know. He came in finally, And then we had, I had to
lock the, I had is to that
do,
legal?
I don't know, but we had to do like an interview. And I was like, I'm already done at that point because we were almost an hour late.
Yeah.
Because they didn't communicate anything and they were really weird about everything. And but also like the people in the office itself were really weird. So
that's weird.
I had an interview. They asked me like my skills and stuff like that. But I was already like, I was really tuned out. I was not even like attempting to do anything.
I can imagine.
So yeah, that was a great experience.
God, that's actually horrifying.
It was, yeah.
Like I don't know. I would probably have to recover for a whole week from that.
I don't remember. It's been a while, but yeah.
Like mentally, it's like, well, what just happened?
Well, that's my brain was like working overtime when I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Walking those disgusting corridors.
It feels, it's weird, right? Like sometimes when you enter a new building and you're meeting new people, on one hand, you're like, oh, they're going to be normal people, you know? Like
you can assume that people are normal, right?
But sometimes you get in this weird, like, liminal space.
Yeah.
Where you don't even recognize humans anymore. Like,
maybe I died and this is all a dream.
You got probed, bro. You got probed.
But I was also like, I also blamed like the people in the cafeteria, right? Because if you see someone who's new and you know, someone asks like, hey, can you help me around?
Yeah. You would feel responsible to right? get them to the right place, right? I would be like, oh crap, you have a meeting. How long was it?
Oh shit. So, yeah, let's try and find it together, you know?
Yeah.
Nope.
They were probably like holding their coffee and being like,
well, it felt more like they heard like they were laid off or something, or they heard like,
oh, so they were celebrating.
no, not celebrating. You know what I mean? They were like
gossiping or something.
They were like fixed on each other. They were busy with.
Yeah. But
I don't know.
It's just it's the whole thing feels very unprofessional and inhuman in a way where you're like just, you know, you feel like cattle being like pushed in specific rooms to get somewhere.
Locked into, yeah.
And then being probed.
Let's just hope that didn't happen. I don't know. Maybe got drugged. I don't know.
Did you get a coffee? You were locked in there for 30 to 45 minutes?
I'm pretty sure they didn't even offer me any drinks.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I don't think it's legal to lock someone in a room without their knowledge.
I'm also like, why would you do that? What's the point of that?
Don't run away.
Or they don't want anyone else to come in?
I think I don't know. It's fucking creepy.
So yeah, it was a great experience. Great company. Again, it was a pretty big company. A few hundred people work there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Well, thank you all for listening to this great episode.
Yeah.
I wonder what you guys think. Did you like hearing about the horrors of being a web developer? There's like plenty more cases we could probably find or think of that we pushed like away
deep down. I like when I was telling my last story, I kind of jogged like a few memories from horrible experiences. So yeah,
but yeah, I'm curious, did you like this episode? Let us know. And
also if you have any own horror stories, not even developer related, but just, you know, work related, maybe
100%. If you have a situation that you were like, what the hell just happened there?
Yeah,
I want to hear it. We want to hear it.
We really want to hear
it. The whole world wants to hear it.
Yes. Let us know. For now, I guess.
Have a great rest of your week.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.